During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Happy Thursday, as it's another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. We are just days away now from the Chiefs' first road regular season game of the year in Baltimore against the Ravens. And one thing I want to do is just break down right now what needs to go right on Sunday for the Chiefs to walk away not only winners, but maybe big winners in this one. We know that Baltimore is dealing with a lot of injuries. They are banged up. But throw that out the window. What needs to go right? What needs to happen for the Chiefs to be successful in this one? When we've looked at these past matchups against Baltimore, you want to pinpoint certain things that the Chiefs' defense was able to do in limiting that Ravens' offense, getting them out of what they do best, which is running the ball, and giving Patrick Mahomes and the offense a chance to blow the doors off early. What they've done well against Lamar Jackson in those three previous matchups, or would it be two? I think it'd be three.
Talking about Patrick Mahomes era?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes era against Lamar Jackson. I think they lost it. Yeah, two, I think. Lost at Arrowhead.
No, you're right. Three.
Okay, so he's 0-3 right now. Those three games, the Chiefs have gotten a lot of pressure early on Lamar Jackson. They've been able to get him out of his comfort zone. And yes, Lamar Jackson likes to run. He wants to run, though, when he wants to run. He doesn't want to be forced into running. Now, he can improvise. He's got that speed. He's got that shiftiness side to side. You get Lamar Jackson in the pocket, though. If you want to keep him in there, make him throw the ball, that's one thing. But you pressure and make him throw on the run, that's another thing. And that's what the Chiefs need to focus on. We saw what Baltimore's offensive line was able to or not able to do against the Raiders on Monday night. Alejandro Villanueva was completely dominated by Max Crosby. And Villanueva does not get an easier matchup on Sunday night. He'll get Chris Jones, which, unless they want to switch things up and double Chris Jones, well, that just gives now the opportunity to the three other guys on the line and Frank Clark, Derek Nnadi, and Jaron Reed to get to Lamar Jackson. Now, when the Ravens were at their best, they were able to run the ball early, establish that run, beat you down up front. Well, they're not going to have the same opportunity in this one. They are now on their third/fourth string running back. They did just bring in Latavius Murray. He played a little bit against Vegas on Monday night. He still, in my eyes, is getting used to that offensive style. So with Baltimore, how do you beat them early? I think that you can, if you jump out early on Baltimore, that automatically puts them in a hole. They play the way they do not want to play. They don't like playing from behind. We've seen the numbers with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens when they are trailing. You generate pressure in those first couple early drives, get Lamar Jackson out of his game. I think we know this Chiefs offense is going to score. Not only is this backfield banged up for Baltimore, their secondary is banged up. They don't have as good of a pass rush anymore. It'll be interesting to see if the Ravens want to even blitz in this one, because that's their identity. They love to blitz every team. And now it's become almost known around the league, you do not blitz the Chiefs or Patrick Mahomes. He can get the ball out quickly, and his guys can get open. So number one on that list, generate pressure on Lamar Jackson. You'll get Frank Clark back. Your two edge rushers will be Clark and Chris Jones. Take advantage of that weaker offensive line of Baltimore. Number two, I know it's not the most important thing on this list, and we don't know how many touches he'll get. But if you get Clyde Edwards-Helaire going in this running game, there's virtually no chance Baltimore has of winning this game. If you get that same Clyde Edwards-Helaire that we got in Buffalo last season, he's able to rush for over 100 yards. Offensive line opened up a lot of holes for him. There's almost no way you can stop the Chiefs' offense then. If they got the running game going, you know the passing game's working, because then you got to bring down the safeties and sort of box in the middle to prevent the big runs. So three running backs, it doesn't need to just be Clyde. It can be Darrell Williams or Jerick McKinnon. You get more production than you did on Sunday against Cleveland. You're living right in Baltimore. We know how much it can take out of a defense when the running game's working. We've seen it happen to Kansas City. You wear down the defensive line. You can eat clock. You kind of can move the way you want to move. We saw how methodical the Chiefs' offense was on Sunday. It was very slow moving. That was without a running game. Typically, offenses move slower when their running game is working. They're getting 7-8 yards a carry, maybe. And you throw a little 5-yard out, getting first down after first down. That run game blocking is not going to dictate the success of the Chiefs' offense. However, it will dictate whether this is a blowout or not. Number three, what I would like to see with this Chiefs team is the number two wide receiver spot to step up. We talked a little bit about Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson yesterday. And they don't need to be perfect. They don't need to be targeted a lot in this game. Just step up when you are called on. Mecole Hardman is, for the most part, a gadget style of player. DeMarcus Robinson is a guy you can throw to 3 to 4 times a game. You asked him to catch 3 of those. If you throw it 4 times a game, get you 3 catches. Just come up big in those third and long situations. Maybe Travis Kelce is doubled in that situation. Find a way to get open. Run the route effectively. Use your speed. High point the ball. Whatever you need to do, make this your time to show that the Chiefs do not need to add another wide receiver to this offense. It's on the biggest stage you can be on in an NFL weekend, Sunday Night Football. I've always considered it to be bigger than Monday night. I've always obviously considered it to be bigger than Thursday night. And when you can perform, especially on the road, that's when people start to believe in your abilities. You show up then, you'll show up when it matters most. The last thing I have and what needs to go right for Kansas City on Sunday night is this secondary play. It does need to sharpen up. You aren't facing a prolific passer. You are facing a dual threat and very dangerous quarterback. Now, this secondary is, for the most part, pretty young. Legarius Sneed, one of the top cornerbacks of the group, he's in his second full season as a starter. Mike Hughes has less than 10 starts in his NFL career. Charvarius Ward is on season 4, I believe, as a quarterback in the NFL. You do get Tyrann Mathieu back, that safety spot. That will help. You just want to see a little bit of a step up. Don't get burned deep. Be physical up front. Force Lamar Jackson to make mistakes in this one. Now, credit to the secondary. They played much better in those final minutes of the fourth quarter against Cleveland. Throw out Mike Hughes' interception at the end. The Chiefs were able to get some coverage sacks late because of how the cornerbacks were defending. Don't allow the big play. And try to force mistakes. Because Baltimore has small room for error in this one, as most teams do with the Chiefs. I don't know what my prediction would be yet, but if half of those things happen on Sunday night, the Chiefs are going to be feeling pretty comfortable in this one.
Hey, I got some breaking news for you for Baltimore, if what? You want to hear it.
Oh, I do.
Jason La Canfora, who tweeted out today, the Ravens are preparing to be without All-Pro left tackle Ronnie Staley
You're
this
kidding.
Week. And possibly far longer, add here he goes under medical testing. So Villanueva will slide back to left tackle.
Oh, man.
And Patrick McCary, I guess depth chart-wise, is next up to right tackle.
Unbelievable. How could it get much worse for Baltimore?
Let's see. Jason LeCafour is a host for a radio host
he's
in Baltimore.
Insider for Baltimore, for sure. Yeah, we all know that name in Kansas City. He was the guy that slandered the Royals back in 2014 about, because he was obviously covering Baltimore. He did not like the way the Royals behaved in 2014, but is a trustworthy source. That is a massive, massive loss. For those of you that don't know Ronnie Staley, he's the guy they trusted in when they traded Orlando Brown. That was why they traded Orlando Brown. They felt like, we have Ronnie Staley. We can put Ronnie Staley at left tackle. We'll be fine. Oh, my God, for Baltimore. I don't think I've seen a more unlucky start for a team. That many crucial guys missing. You now got two guys on the edge. You got Villanueva, who we just talked about, who just, maybe it's because he was playing out of position at right tackle, got clobbered on Monday night. Now, we'll be going up against Frank Clark, and then a backup right tackle is going up against Chris Jones. Man, you got to be licking your chops if you're Steve Spagnuolo.
The phrase that I've heard that's been thrown around a lot describing the Ravens this year so far is snake bitten. Dude, they're something's up, and it's just, that's rough, man. That's like something you see with the Chargers year in and year out when they have players getting hurt before the season starts.
And not only that, he's going to miss an extended period of time. They don't have that much luxury this year in this division. Cleveland has to be by far and away the favorite. I think Pittsburgh could finish now above Baltimore. Baltimore may miss the playoffs now. I mean, I'm curious to see how they respond to this. I don't know how much you can deal with, though. I still think they're a good team, but to be a playoff team, you can't be missing guys for that long of time. So there you have it from Marco, per Jason LaConfora, who's in Baltimore. The breaking news this morning, Pro Bowl and starting left tackle for the Ravens, Ronnie Staley, expected to miss Sunday night's game against the Chiefs and much longer. Brutal, brutal stretch for Baltimore continues. When we come back, this is pretty ironic, we are going to talk about the injury report between the Ravens and the Chiefs and break down which players are going to miss and which players may come back on Sunday night. You've been listening to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Again, I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. Before we went to break, we had a little bit of breaking news, thanks to Marco bringing it to my attention and the rest of you that are listening. Per Jason LaConfora, the Ravens are preparing to be without All-Pro left tackle Ronnie Staley this week and possibly far longer, add he undergoes more medical testing. Alejandro Villanueva slides back to left tackle to his natural spot, with Patrick McCary next up to right tackle. O-line was already under fire before this setback. For those not familiar with Ronnie Staley. He is the best lineman in Baltimore and one of the best left tackles in the league. That not only puts Baltimore at a severe disadvantage, it now comes to the point, is are they even capable of winning on Sunday night? You can't play the way you did on Monday night with Ronnie Staley and expect it to get better. I guess the organization was so comfortable in trading Orlando Brown because they knew they'd have Ronnie Staley. Now, if you don't have Ronnie Staley for an extended period of time, you got rid of Orlando Brown. You are piecing together this offense right now. Right before he came back on the air, Marco just talked to my ear and said, I mean, you can't not feel bad for Lamar Jackson right now. The guy is just dealt bad hand after bad hand. This was the first year he truly would have had a pretty good receiving core. They go out and get Sammy Watkins. They draft Rashad Bateman. You still have Hollywood Brown. And now all the running backs get hurt and your best lineman goes down. Lamar Jackson was already at a disadvantage for Sunday night. This is going to make things incredibly difficult, especially if Frank Clark is back and fully healthy. Chris Jones, because he will be starting on the edge, is going to be going up against a backup right tackle. And his name, as was said in Luck and Ford's tweet, Patrick McCary. I'll do some research on McCary when we go to break the next time. So we are going to talk about this injury report right now and what we saw from yesterday. Obviously, some more news came to our attention this morning about 10 minutes ago. So on the Chiefs side of things, it's all sunshine and rainbows right now. They had every guy practice yesterday. Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu, both full participants. Austin Blythe, I believe, backup interior lineman, backup center, was able to get some limited time in practice the other day. The Ravens is a whole different story. They are the walking wounded right now. They are limping into Sunday night. Not to mention, this is on a short week. They just played on Monday night and now have to turn around and play Sunday night against the best team in the AFC and, you could argue, the best team in the NFL. So Ronnie Staley expected to be out, I guess. They might be preparing now to not have him. Another eye-opener, Hollywood Brown, Lamar's number one target in the receiving game, did not practice yesterday as he is dealing with some injuries. Marlon Humphrey, one of the few remaining guys in this secondary that is one of the better secondary guys in the AFC, I would say, he was limited. Man, it is... Marco, I don't know about you, and we talked about them being snake-bitten. I don't know if maybe... I remember Denver when they lost Von Miller and Bradley Chubb last year. That felt like a gut punch, like, you're not recovering from this. That was your bread and butter. So Baltimore loses its running backs. You think that's their bread and butter. That's it, though. That was enough for me. That was... I don't know how Baltimore's going to compete in that tough AFC North right now. You lose your best lineman, and now you're dealing with your best receiver not even practicing. He still may go, but already this early, so many injuries. Not only just injuries to key guys. What are you making so far of this catastrophe in Baltimore right now?
It's shocking. It's just, once again, you got to feel bad for Lamar Jackson because the dude already takes enough heat from the national media. I mean, yesterday, I think it was ESPN or some sports outlet on Twitter put a stat out there that Jalen Hurts had more 300-yard games than Lamar Jackson, and it's like, come on, why do we continue to take cheap shots at somebody who is a generational talent. I thought you landed it perfectly. It's the closest thing we've got. He's the closest thing we've gotten to Michael Vick since Michael Vick as a quarterback. And the guy just can't catch a break, whether it's in the media or it's with what's happening with his roster this year. And I just, Baltimore, I mean, one of my friends I went to college with, he's a Ravens fan. He was talking about how he was in one of those speaker groups, those groups on Twitter, join the chat room type things. And he was like, he was in a Ravens one yesterday, and he's like, I felt like I found my therapy group within that, because that's what's happening right now. The Ravens are falling apart, and it's not even week two of the NFL. Well, it's week two of the NFL season, I guess, tonight, but it was even before week one of the NFL season. And it stinks, but sometimes it's the way it's stuff that's just uncontrollable. It's stuff that happens to teams, like you mentioned. Broncos last year lost two of their best defensive players, and they lost, and that was their bread and butter. It happens in an NFL season, and this year it's happening to Baltimore. I told you during the break, it reminds me of what we see with the Chargers almost year in and year out. They're pretty healthy this year, and so it seems like that snake-bitten curse has moved from L.A. out east to where the Ravens are at, and it stinks because it's one of those teams that I thought this was going to be a tough three-game stretch for the Chiefs. Now it's not really looking like it, because Baltimore has taken so many blows. It just sucks because you want the best competition when you want the best from the toughest teams in your conference. You want to play them at their best, because not only is it a good test for your team, but it also is just the way it should be. And it's a bummer. It stinks. I know it's an advantage for the Chiefs. But it's not something that I wouldn't cheer for, obviously, because that's another player getting injured.
Exactly. You don't want to cheer for it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, it's the NFL. This stuff happens, and you don't send sympathy cards to teams. You take wins when you can get them. But on that point of Lamar Jackson, he is, without a doubt, one of the more criticized quarterbacks in the league. It all started when he was drafted, and some scouts wanted him to shift to being a wide receiver. Then he came into the NFL, wasn't the best passer, and that's been a knock on him since he's been in the league. People who don't have much knowledge of the NFL consider him a glorified running back. He's not. He's won an MVP. He is not the best passer in the league, but you can't judge him like a typical pocket passer when he does much more with his legs. This is a big moment in Lamar Jackson's career right here. It feels like every great quarterback goes through this at one point in time in their career when they are dealt a terrible hand and they are just beat up on both sides of the ball, and you have to find a way to win games in the NFL. Lamar Jackson will have one of the more tougher roads to doing that. He's in a very tough division. He's got a tough matchup this week, and it's early. It's probably better that they're playing the Chiefs now than later, because you can start in this league 1-3 and still find a way to make the postseason. The problem is, I don't know sitting here today if Lamar Jackson is capable of doing that without his best weapons. It takes a truly, truly special quarterback to overcome that type of adversity. Not many have, and that is not a knock on Lamar. We have mentioned he's a generational talent. He is. This will prove, though, just how special he is. If the Ravens can bounce back and maybe make the wild card, or throw it out there, they win the division, maybe something terrible happens in Cleveland, they win the division at 10-7, 11-6. That is a big moment in the young career of Lamar Jackson. That shows I can win with anybody. Give me any player on the field, I will make them great. because that is what makes the best quarterbacks in this league. They make others around them great. Right now, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, that's a common knock on him. He hasn't had to deal with adversity. I argue that because look at the offensive line that he had in the Super Bowl. That is adversity. That is playing without your best players on the line. Now, I don't think any quarterback can play with that banged up of an offensive line. But Lamar Jackson may start to have that. He is now going to have a banged up offensive line, a ravaged backfield, and a receiving group that is still dealing with injuries of its own. I'm curious to see how Lamar Jackson responds to this and how the national media will criticize him moving forward or praise him moving forward. The league is better when the Ravens and Lamar Jackson are good. There's no denying that. But this AFC is going to be a gauntlet this year, and it is going to be tough for the Ravens to squeak in to that postseason spot if they are really hurt by these injuries. If they respond well, hey, prove me wrong that they can play just as well without these top players. It's just not looking as sunny in Baltimore today. And this was a matchup, like you said, I had marked on my calendar as well.
Yeah.
This was the fourth matchup between Lamar and Patrick Mahomes. And the second consecutive one in Baltimore. And this time with a crowd. It's just, I don't know anymore how do you look at this game now? There is, right now the pressure's all on Kansas City. You are on the road, but you're playing a banged up team. Loud environment, but it's still, you win this game, they're going to say, well, Baltimore's banged up. You lose this game, you say, wow, you lost to Baltimore and they're banged up. I mean, how do you view this game now, Marco? If you're Kansas City, it is just another game. It's early. Mm-hmm. A loss isn't going to derail the season. But do you even view this anymore as like, if they go away and win this way, they win this, let's say 27-20, tightly contested game, you win this game, is that still as impressive of a win, or is it just a good road win?
Good road win, because it's also a tough environment over there in Baltimore, but this is where you got to feel happy that you got a head coach like Andy Reid and a mature team with superstars that have been around for a while to where they're not seeing this as, it's one of those things where they see a team that's banged up and they are looking ahead to the Chargers. Because that happens with some teams where they are looking a week ahead because the opponent in front of them is not, I wouldn't say good because the Ravens are good, but not just, they're not a team that is at their best. They don't have a 100% healthy roster like the Chiefs, who had all 53 players practice yesterday. So it's still a game that you can, it's still a game that you got to go in and you got to game plan as if the Ravens are 100% healthy. You cannot go in there and look at them as a team that is down two tackles, two running backs. Their offense is on the tip of the iceberg, getting ready to fall off if another injury happens. No, that is not the case, because Harbaugh is too experienced of a coach, too good of a coach. Lamar Jackson is too good of a quarterback to afford any slip up, any mistakes, any leeway. Like you said, no team in the NFL writes a sympathy card to any other teams. That's the case right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. You cannot play the Ravens as if their roster is not 100% healthy. You go in there with the same game plan, same mindset. Know the advantages that your team has and use them to your potential. Use them to take a gain over the team. But it's still a good Ravens football team. They still have a game player, a game changer, someone who is not just a regular quarterback in Lamar Jackson. He can expose your weaknesses. It's just one of those things where Chiefs still have to go in with the same game plan. Now, what you said about Lamar Jackson, yeah, this Ravens team makes the playoffs. It's because Lamar Jackson has done something special, and he may be getting his second MVP trophy because of it. But that's the way that I view this game. It's still an important game, still one you have to get the W in no matter how you get it. 24-21, doesn't matter what the score is, as long as you walk away with a W, which they have to get in this game because this Ravens team is hurt, but you still got to go in there as if it's 100% healthy. They still have a chance to win. It's not 100% Chiefs victory. I'm sure FBI, you know, although its ratings, its percentages have adjusted, that's not what it's looking like.
Yeah, it's another road game in the NFL. Those are not easy to come by, no matter who you play. Remember a couple years back, I think it was the last year under Alex Smith, they lost against the Giants.
Yeah, the Jets.
And the Jets. I mean, it's like you have to win those games, no matter how they come by. And I will say that trap games in the NFL typically come when they're at home. You know, I got the schedule right in front of me. You got the Giants at home. You got that Monday night game. It is a primetime game. It's like you look at the Giants,
yeah.
You got the Packers the next week. That is a trap game in my mind because you're thinking, gosh, home game against the Giants, this will be easy. I don't see this one as a trap game because it's still on the road and it's against one of the better teams in the AFC. Now, that brings me to this next point, and I guess it's completely changed now. A lot more is going to have to go wrong. But how could the Chiefs lose on Sunday night? What would have to go wrong? We talked about what has to go right. How do the Chiefs walk away losers in this one if things go wrong? I've got a couple of bullet points here. And maybe you'll say, well, that's obvious, Jack. If they don't do this, of course they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But there's three things right here I have labeled that just can't happen. But now when I look at these, this could still happen and the Chiefs could walk away winners. I mean, the Ravens are so banged up right now. Anyways, with this point, number one on my list, they got to be able to stop the run. You can't stop the run at all. You give Baltimore a great chance of winning.
Mm-hmm.
You can't contain Lamar. You can't contain Murray. Or Williams, then you got some serious issues on your hand. You aren't having the ball for as long. Ravens are eating clock and they're punching it in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
You struggle with stopping that run. You keep Baltimore in this game. Number two, limit those big plays, especially on special teams. Last year in Baltimore, the Chiefs had that game put away. And what brought Baltimore back into it? That kick return by Devin Duvernay. Now, again, we just mentioned, that could happen on Sunday night, and the Chiefs could still win. But you allow those to happen, not only in special teams, but on defense, if Lamar Jackson makes that 60-yard run, or that 40-yard pass to Hollywood Brown or Sammy Watkins. Again, you keep Baltimore in the game and you keep them close. The closer you are late, the louder the crowd gets. The Chiefs are capable of playing in front of hostile environments. They've fared well in hostile environments. You just don't give crowds like that ammo, though. You give them that chance to be loud late, that's when the mistakes can happen. Mm-hmm. We know how perfect Patrick Mahomes has been. He's literally been perfect in September. Has not thrown an interception, has not lost in September. You're late, though, on the road, and you got a 3-point lead, and you got to be able to convert. That's likely due to the plays that happened earlier in the game. So if you can't limit those plays, that's another reason how the Chiefs could lose on Sunday. And number three on this list, and it's unlikely, it's very unlikely for that matter, but again, this is an obvious point. This is a Captain Obvious bullet point. Patrick Mahomes turns it over multiple times. We just mentioned his numbers in September. He turns it over more than once. Yeah, you got to be pretty sure that I will keep Baltimore in the game. And we have seen Mahomes turn it over. Heck, his worst game, I think, last year came against Miami. He threw three interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs were still up in the third quarter, I think 30-13 or 30-10. That is the recipe for not disaster, but a recipe of bad play that will keep a banged-up team in the ballgame. So, not stopping the run, not being able to limit the big plays, and Mahomes having a quote-unquote bad game. And what's funny, and Marco, I don't know if you'll agree with me, those three could happen and the Chiefs could win this game. I was not expecting the Ronnie Staley news this morning because I wanted to talk about this segment when I was last night looking at the injury report and what needed to go wrong. The Chiefs, would you agree that if those three things happen, Chiefs do not stop the run, can't limit the big plays, and Mahomes turns it over, can they still win this ball game?
Yeah, absolutely. One, because of what you said with the Miami game. Mahomes turned it over three times in that one. And look how that worked out in the end for Kansas City. Two, if they can't stop the run, I'm fine with that because Lamar Jackson, do you want to hear his averages as far as a passer against the Chiefs defense in his three games against them? Dude has only averaged 170 yards a game against the Chiefs in one touchdown pass. That means if their rushing attack is working, I just don't think I don't think that it's balanced out well against the Chiefs for Baltimore and for Lamar Jackson specifically. I think that Kansas City will allow him to run, but when it comes to him passing, I think he struggles gratefully against Kansas City. So and then can't limit the big plays. I think that ties in with the can't stop the run because it seems like those tend to be the big plays for Lamar Jackson and Baltimore against the Chiefs. I'm thinking specifically to the Week 3 game, not last year, but the year before at Arrowhead. He had a really good touchdown run. Someone missed a tackle on him, and I can't remember who it was. But it's just one of those things where I think Kansas City's offense outweighs Baltimore's offense in this case, and I think their defense knows how to play Lamar. I think Spagnuolo has a good scheme when going up against Jackson.
And that's the thing. I mean, I would like to say that it's still up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's just with all that's gone on, especially this morning, there is increasingly a less chance Baltimore wins this game. I would like to point out that it's still possible the Chiefs have a blunder in this one. This team is just able to overcome blunders very, very well. When we come back on the shift, we are going to talk about tonight's Thursday night game. Now, it's not the most exciting of matchups, but it's still NFL football. And we're going to talk about Urban Meyer and the comments he had yesterday about the opening at USC. You've been listening to The Shift at 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. As always, I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. We have more football. The beginning of Week 2 tonight between Washington and the New York Giants. I know, it just sounds like the best possible matchup we could have gotten, but I guess that is Thursday night football and typically what happens. It is not the eye catcher. There are some things I will be looking for, and I will definitely be watching this game just because it is NFL football. It will be Taylor Heinicke versus Daniel Jones. Washington already on his backup quarterback. Now, Heinicke did face off with Tom Brady in the postseason last year, did have a pretty good game, and gave Washington a shot to beat the Chargers late in Week 1. The Giants, on the other hand, did not look good against Denver. Quite frankly, didn't look good at all. That offensive line is in shambles. The Washington defense is one of the better ones in the NFL. I actually do have Washington on my fantasy team, so that will be one thing I am looking for. If you all have Washington or people to watch in this game, maybe that's why you're tuning on the game tonight. But if you are looking for a reason, aside from fantasy football, and you're not a fan of either team, there are some reasons to tune in tonight. These do not have implications to anything the Chiefs do. These are NFC opponents, both teams that likely are not going to make the postseason. Maybe Washington squeaks in with an easier division. We will get to see Saquon Barkley in primetime, and will he have that opportunity to finally break out again, coming off that ACL injury? And he'll be going up against a very tough defensive line with Washington. Another thing to see is Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, despite being a top first-round pick, this is a do-or-die year for him, I would say.
I totally forgot he was an early first-round pick.
Yep,
oh my God.
Of Duke. This is his make-or-break it. Do-or-die, make-or-break it. Whatever you want to say, this is it for Daniel Jones. If he doesn't come through for the Giants this season, in all likelihood, he's not the starting quarterback anywhere next season. Now, his teammates are high on him. I was actually reading an article during the break about Daniel Jones. And I believe it was Sterling Shepard, wide receiver out of Oklahoma, who said this about Daniel Jones. And he's referencing his potential. He said, if you don't see it, you are blind. I will say that I like the positivity. I like supporting your quarterback. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't know if I've seen a single thing that truly gives me that type of confidence in Daniel Jones from an outsider's perspective. Daniel Jones has not given me any reason to believe he's a true starting quarterback in this league. He's had flashes in games. He's very few times put together a full, complete game against a very good team. Tonight would be one of those moments where even if Daniel Jones plays well, he doesn't give me the confidence yet to anoint him a top 20 quarterback in this league. I think he's towards the bottom half. He will have a test in going up against the Washington's front with that below average offensive line in New York. He got some weapons, though, this season to work with. He gets, obviously, Saquon Barkley back, but then he gets Kenny Golladay from free agency. They draft Kadarius Toney out of Florida. He's got the weapons. You don't produce, you're not going to be in this league much longer. And I guess the last thing I want to look for in this game is just the other quarterback, Taylor Heinicke. He is an interesting quarterback. He's fared a lot better than I thought he would at the NFL level. This tonight, though, will show, because they're going to be without Ryan Fitzpatrick for a while. I don't think they're going to go in on any other quarterback. Don't see them bringing in Cam Newton at this point. They will likely roll with Taylor Heinicke moving forward. If you're a Cowboys fan, you're looking at this game and saying, this is our last, I would say, even though they lost week one, this would be the game I look at and say, this will truly show if we have any true competitors in this division. If Washington can't beat the Giants tonight, it's because they did not play well at all. Washington is favored in this one. I'd be shocked if Washington didn't win tonight. I know it's a two not very good teams playing in this one, but a below average quarterback matchup, I just would say that even though Taylor Heinicke is not a true starter in this league, I'm giving him the edge against Daniel Jones. So those are the things I'm looking for tonight with this matchup between Washington and the New York Giants.
This is the reason. This is the game why people drafted Washington's defense in their fantasy leagues. I totally forgot till you just mentioned that Daniel Jones was a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. It wasn't a really good QB class, but you're absolutely right. His rookie contract is up after next year. He's starting to look like he could be like a next Mitchell Trubisky, where he'll be a backup somewhere for somebody. But, yeah, tonight's game, what I'm hoping to see out of it, too, is Saquon, a healthy Saquon, because I think the NFL, you know, he's somebody that we haven't seen at 100%. Obviously, last season, season-ending injury. Last week, didn't have a really good game against the Broncos. Broncos have a good defense, so the Giants are getting a tough break right now with back-to-back games against some really good defenses. It's football, so that's why I'm going to be tuning in tonight. But curious to see, yeah, because you're right, Daniel Jones, they invested in him. They're putting weapons around him, but this may be his swan song this season.
Exactly, and that's a storyline its own. That's what you can look for tonight, tuning in to Washington and the New York Giants. The last thing we want to get to today, and I thought it was kind of interesting, just going through the NFL news the last couple of days before we get into Fact or Fiction, of course, has been Urban Meyer. Already stuff circulating about him after just one game in Jacksonville. Now, he was asked about the USC opening in a press conference. He did say there was no chance. No chance that he would take that USC job. But man, a bad start already to Urban Meyer's stint in Jacksonville in the NFL. The fact that question is even being asked shows that how committed is Jacksonville and how committed is Urban Meyer committed to this Jaguars organization? How long is the leash for Urban Meyer? Because Jacksonville is a rebuilding team. It's not like they were supposed to be true competitors in their own division this season. Now, they were supposed to be better, having the number one draft pick, taking a guy like Trevor Lawrence. Urban Meyer, though, I don't think I've seen this quickly. Maybe it's because he's a personality. We all know who Urban Meyer is, and maybe that's because he's put more in the limelight because he's switching from college to the NFL, or had been in college, now switched to the NFL. I don't know how long he's got in Jacksonville. Marco, I don't know. It is, of course, all speculation. I don't know what Jacksonville will finish this season. They seem better. It's week one. They did get trounced by a not very good Houston team. They still got playmakers. They're going to have some good games this season. Urban Meyer, I think, is a pretty good football coach. It's not like he's got this pressure of playing in a football-dominated city where you don't perform one year, you're out. I just think this is very weird this early on. Already asking about taking another job, one game into the season. What are your thoughts on this Urban Meyer talk with Jacksonville and USC?
I think it's, if he does leave Jacksonville, shame on him. I think Jacksonville, shame on them already for hiring Urban Meyer, because I think that's a joke of a hire in the NFL level, especially when you're trying to rebuild your franchise with a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, who, once again, is a talented, talented quarterback. There's a reason why he was the number one pick in his last year's draft. I am a fan of Trevor Lawrence, and I think that it's a big screw you to him, or a big I don't care who you are. It's very disrespectful. One, if Urban Meyer takes the job, but Jacksonville's already disrespected him by hiring Urban Meyer, because I think that was just a terrible hire. I don't know what went through their minds when they hired Meyer, but it feels like it, that's not good for Trevor Lawrence right now. Jacksonville is not a good place for him right now as a rookie quarterback who has high potentials to succeed at the NFL level.
Yeah, you don't want that much dysfunction already in year one of a rookie quarterback. And with that, we're going to get into our favorite segment of The Shift, of Fact or Fiction. Five questions, five takes in under 5 minutes. Marco, fire away.
All right, Jack, fact or fiction? Mahomes throws for more than 3 touchdowns on Sunday. Ooh.
That would be nail in the coffin for sure. If Mahomes gets 4 touchdowns on Sunday, I don't see the Ravens even getting 4 touchdowns in any form on Sunday. I think I'm going to go with 3, though. I don't think he'll get more than 3. I'd be pretty confident 2 or 3, so I'm going to go fiction on that. Mahomes will not throw for more than 3 touchdowns on Sunday.
Fact or fiction, Tyrann Mathieu has an interception on Sunday.
So you'll get 2 guys back on defense, and Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark. How impactful they are remains to be seen. I'm kind of being Debbie Downer. I will go fiction as well. I don't think Tyrann Mathieu has to have an interception to be important in this game. Wouldn't be shocked to see it happen, but I don't know if Lamar's going to be throwing the ball that much where he's going to get too many opportunities to have an interception. So fiction on that as well.
Fact or fiction, Mecole Hardman has more than 50 receiving yards. Ooh, I had an over-under on this one.
What was the over-under at?
50.
50, oh, yeah. 50, exactly. Okay. I'm going to go fact. I think Mecole Hardman, this is his chance to silence all the doubters on him. 50 yards isn't much. He can honestly get it in one play. I think he'll get targeted a little bit more. He had a big game in Baltimore last season. He's had good success against Baltimore, actually.
Oh, yeah.
His highest receiving total came in that 2019 game against the Ravens Week 3, as we talked about earlier, against Baltimore at Arrowhead Stadium. So I'm going to go fact. I think Mecole Hardman can have somewhere between 60 and 70 yards on Sunday night.
Best games are against Baltimore. And I always say Hardman, the key to him is Mahomes getting time in the pocket, because route running isn't great, but his speed is.
It'll get him open.
Yes. And so fact or fiction, Urban Meyer is fired before 2 full seasons in Jacksonville.
So we did just talk about Urban Meyer and Marco not a fan of the hire in the first place. I don't even know where to start with all this talk has come from. One, the fact that there's this much talk already 1 game in makes me think there's no way he finishes 2 full seasons. I don't see him being fired year one. I could see him being fired early year two. So I'm going to go fiction on that. Urban Meyer will not make it through 2 full seasons in Jacksonville.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know why they would think long-term best plan is to hire Urban Meyer. Has he jetted out before? Like, because people were joking on Twitter. It's like, oh, he's saying it like that. That means he is going to be leaving for the job. Has he did he leave? Where was he at before
Florida?
Florida.
I thought he took that job, though. I thought it was more in the off season.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, because he was at Utah before Florida, yeah. I think. So I'm wondering if that maybe.
I have to look into that for sure.
Fact or fiction, Washington covers tonight in, are they in New York?
They are, that was the one thing, they are in Washington. So the line right now, 3.5, Washington is a 3.5 point favorite. We did talk about that. I think Washington wins this game. I think they'll cover as well. I don't see this being a very back and forth matchup, be pretty low scoring, I think, with Daniel Jones and Taylor Heinicke being the quarterback. So I'm going to go fact, Washington will cover and win tonight against the New York Giants. With that, that'll wrap up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Same time tomorrow, 10 AM. You take it easy, Kansas City.